Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay tuned.
This is Chrissy Annie, DNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Erich.
I'm Al Snow.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid T.J. Wilson.
Everybody, this is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You listen to me because you are listening to WrestleTalk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the king, baby.
You will bow to me, Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will,
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another edition of WTR Sunday Night. I am the man with the funny accent, otherwise known as Mace. Joining me tonight, the man who is using Transformers as earphones, Omega. And we have, I don't know, since we're not allowed to call him old, we're not allowed to make fun of Jewish or anything. But he's here anyway, Tim Stein. And we are... one less Spug, and Will's off somewhere practicing for New Year's.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to an edition of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The final edition of Wrestle Talk Radio.
Oh, awesome. Do I get my Sunday night back?
The very last Wrestle Talk Radio. Historic moment, guys. Mark it on your calendars. I'm getting choked up. Wrestle Talk Radio, that's it. We're done. We're done, son.
Thank you and good night, everybody.
I don't think we discussed this.
Yeah, we're done. This is the last Wrestle Talk Radio for 2009.
Naturally.
Naturally. Yeah. What, you didn't like that?
I figure you were leading up to that, yeah.
You figured I was leading up to that.
That wasn't funny.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate that.
That was so obvious, Ozzy Osbourne saw it coming.
No. Ozzy Osbourne's not a heart of, he's not visually impaired. It would be funny, it would be, better if you said that was so obvious. Stevie Wonder saw it coming.
Yeah, but that's the obvious part.
You notice he has to go through his head. Okay, Ray Charles is dead. What's the other one?
I wasn't going through a list. I mean, I could have pulled out Jose Feliciano. He's blind. I mean, Jordy LaForge without his hair clip in front of his eyes, he's blind. He's also not real, but still. So, guys, did you all have a really good Christmas holiday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The tree didn't set on fire, so that means it was good.
Hey, that's always a start. Did you get more Transformer toys and shit, Omega?
I'm me.
Yes, I know. Stupid question.
I've got more plastic on my desk than lead on Valentine's Day.
Ooh. Ooh. Is that going to be the last lead-a-joke of 2009?
Possibly. You'll have to tune in and find out throughout the rest of the show.
Well, I have to admit, that was funny.
Not funny, haha, funny, queer.
Mace, what did you get for Christmas? What did the fat guy with the hair on his jaws bring you?
A couple of shirts, some WWE microaggression figures, and the popcorn maker.
But I'm assuming no better internet connection.
Oh, God, no.
Well, sucks to be you, then. That's too bad.
Always does. Yeah. Always does.
Oh, well, I hope everybody had a good Christmas. I haven't even had mine yet, so.
Canadians celebrate Christmas? Put me into a coma.
Yes, Omega, Canadians celebrate Christmas, but I don't celebrate Christmas until I get a chance to see my kid, and I haven't yet, so.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So once I get a chance to spend a day with my kid, then I'll be celebrating Christmas. And the way things are going, I'm also going to be celebrating his birthday and the first day of summer, too.
Oh, wonderful.
Great. Wonderful, wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Mm.
Oh, well, life's a bitch. For some reason, Will's decided he didn't want to bother hanging around with us tonight. So,
Will's just getting in his practice for New Year's.
Yeah, there you go. And then, of course, Spug is always punctually late.
I'd probably say he'll be here at the top of the next hour. He'd probably think that it was a pay-per-view for some unknown reason.
I was about to say, sure. He thinks it's a pay-per-view, and which is kind of funny because he usually goes over to his friend's place or a bar to watch it. So you would think that as soon as he got there and there was no wrestling happening for, $50 nowadays, he'd have it figured out.
It's Spug. He could just be still drinking.
Well, you know...
This is your excuse for everybody.
Pretty much.
If they're not here, they're lost in a bottle.
95% of the population that holds very nicely for, but as far as Spug goes...
I'm sorry, I keep forgetting.
You know, that's his excuse for not being here, right?
You're just so happy. You've got your soundboard tonight.
I've actually got a real soundboard. Yeah, I downloaded something called Soundbite. Fucking thing is shareware, and they're asking $39 for what I'm using right now, but for a complete thing, it's like $140 or something like that. I'm like, fuck you. So I'm looking for cracks. Did I admit that out loud? Oops.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm violating the WTR wellness policy.
Oh, okay. dueling soundboards.
Holy crap!
Okay, Rock.
Okay, so Omega and I can just leave now, and we can just let you two...
Yeah, we'll just leave it to the audio recording.
No, you've got to set us up for this stuff. Come on, I mean, after all.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, that's not nice.
That wasn't nice at all. Yeah, so everybody, officially, welcome to WTR Sunday Night, the final WTR Sunday Night for 2009 and for December, which kind of sort of coincides. We're kind of, you know, taking it easy. We've spent pretty much a full year doing this show, some of us. And some of us spent half a year doing it. But there's a lot of work and effort put in over the past 365 days on Russ Talk Radio. And I figure, you know, what the hell, let's just take it easy before we get into it. You know what I mean? Yeah, Rock, I do hate the clips, and if you play them, you're in trouble.
Challenge?
Yeah, well, not that shit. Yeah, I'll just make sure that I never, ever, ever take over Monday Night Mayhem from them. I plan on doing, you know, producing the shows at some point in time every now and then, but no, if you play the sound clips, that's definitely out the window. But anyway, tonight we're going to look at the best of 2009.
Excellent.
Doesn't that sound great? Yeah, we're going to do... Well, let's just throw out a few categories what we're going to talk about. We're going to take a look at Story of the Year, surprise of the year, the breakout star of the year, runner-up match of the year, and it's runner-up match of the year because I think it's pretty much unanimous with you buggers that it was Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker at WrestleMania was the match of the year right there.
That's because we weren't allowed to have an opposing opinion, according to Spug.
Well, he's not here, so feel free to call him an asshole.
Nah.
And then when he shows up, feel free to reiterate it.
Nah, Spug and I had a little argument last week.
Yeah, let's not do that again. That was just terrible. Shame, shame. Anyway, continuing, we'll also look at the feud of the year, the superstar of the year, top moments of the year, star for 2010, who might break out and stand above everybody else, 2010 predictions, and we'll even hear Will's predictions and stuff, even though he's not on the show, because he's made arrangements for that to happen. And then we'll get into a little bit of rapid fire for whoever might be here, and it could wind up being a very short rapid fire. So you never know. You never know.
As you can see, we're really excited.
Yeah. So you guys got any? You guys got anything on your mind before we do anything?
Not in particular. See, I've been playing Wii games since Christmas. My mind's blank.
Oh, the Wii what is it? The Wii Me 4500 or whatever it was?
It's just a Wii, and stop adding numbers to it. If you make Atari references now, you're just going to sound older.
Well, no, that's what Shawn Michaels did when they were plugging their DX stuff, WWE.
Oh, right. I stopped paying attention to those DX advertisements.
Well, geez, I don't know why they're so funny and informative.
Oh, yeah, I mean, if you want to turn DX, the most controversial group in WWE history, into a shameless advertising campaign.
Well, no. They've evolved. They're no longer the most controversial group. They are now the most commercial group.
Uh-huh. So
that's conformity.
So conformity is now in Degeneration X.
Yeah, it's cool to be square, yeah, once again.
And so is Alzheimer's, if you take a look at the jerks Triple H plays on Shawn Michaels. It's just like us calling Tim old. But been there, done that, get over it.
Yeah, been there, done that. Move along, nothing to see here.
But while we're at the DX, how bad was that little people's court?
Well, it was great because I had to take a dump and it gave me enough time to do so.
Jeez, aside from it being so bad, I mean, number one, you devote two segments to it, then you go and replay the highlights from it later in that night. I mean,
well, ironically about that, Omega, there were no highlights.
Well, yeah, that's the sad part.
Yeah.
And they still decided that it was worth replaying.
And some of the weirdest freaking camera cuts I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's really stupid. But I do believe that there's like a whole new, a whole different world under the ring. And it looks suspiciously like the back hall of an arena.
I do kind of like how apparently in WWE, the stage entrance is apparently this nexus where any superstar could possibly appear at any time. And now underneath the ring, there is another world of midgets.
It was just a little afterthought, you know.
And then after all that, it ends up Hornswoggle gets to be the DX mascot.
There you go.
You couple that with Cena saying, I'm going to win until I get the title back, and I think I'm going to join Will on his boycott of Raw.
Yeah, that reminds me, by the way, notice how none of the commentators happen to remember that Jack Swagger made the exact same promise, and that night was his pretty much the last match he was going to have on Raw, unless he has one. I don't think it's. Are they even going to have anything tomorrow night?
I don't think so.
I didn't know if it's like a best, or is he doing a best of 2009 tomorrow night, or if they're going to be doing an actual episode of Raw. Okay, there's a live Raw.
Yeah, no, there's an actual
Raw. It's being hosted by
SmackDown. Raw with somebody guest hosting.
Yeah.
All right.
They're
gonna all right. Start the Bret Hart crap.
As a matter of fact, they I do believe Vince McMahon today did some filming for something to set up the angle for Bret's return on the 4th.
Right. But it still bugs me that they had Cena and Jack Swagger both making the similar promise, and they didn't even mention Swagger. They didn't even bring it up. I mean, there should have been a lot more build-up to this where, okay, Cena vowed to go undefeated till he won the world title again, and Swagger vowed to go the rest of the year undefeated. Someone's vow will break tonight, and that should have been a bigger deal than it was. And they totally forgot. And Swagger ended up looking like a jobber.
Well, yeah. Then again, Swagger is like nobody.
Oh, yeah, but he at least has more build-up than Sheamus.
Yeah.
It proved how much of a nobody Swagger was, because he showed up the very next night on ECW.
I'm still stuck on that whole stupid midget thing, the whole setup, and it was like a month in the works just to make Hornswoggle the official mascot for DX.
Yeah, that was kind of boring.
Well, try to get the bad taste of that out of your mouth. Little People Scorch is like St. Mike's Early Black. It's patently ridiculous, and nobody's going to believe it. I'm just saying.
I think that's our midget quota for the night.
No, I can just add one little bit, which would have been the SmackDown Christmas with Guerrero, Teddy Long, and Hornswoggle.
Oh, that was dumb.
That was absolutely horrid.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I wish I could have got like an even faster fast forward on my recorder, just so I could get through it quicker.
Wasn't Vince bragging about how sophisticated his product was now when we have frickin' pie gags on SmackDown?
How reality-based it was, and yet we have an entire world under the ring.
Yeah, that's believable.
My head hurts.
That's what you get for watching Raw and actually thinking that they're going to make it more realistic.
Well, who said it's going to be more realistic?
Well, I see it this way. You know, we watched Raw with the horribleness of the Little People's Court. Then Omega and myself ended up watching the Nostalgia Critics Star Wars Holiday Special video, which absolutely fried our minds. And just to kill off what little sanity we had left, we had SmackDown.
Well, you know, SmackDown's main event was a good one.
And then there was TNA, which was the best of 2009, and I'm like, yeah, okay, delete.
The best of 2009, what, did it last 10 minutes?
I don't know. The first match was the Mixed Monsters Ball, and I'm like, yeah, okay, seen it all. Bye.
Seriously. We're finally joined by this Spug Boy.
Spug Boy? Fuck you, Tim.
Spug Boy. Hey, Spug Boy.
I love the snow when I'm not having to drive in it.
Otherwise, it's not so much fun?
Well, you know, we've gotten 2.5 inches in 3 hours.
Oh, please. Amateurs.
You've lived in Toronto. You've lived in Toronto, so you know what lake effect snow does.
Well, yeah, I've lived in southern Ontario. I've been to Toronto, but the town I lived in was like 2.5 hours away by car. But yeah, surrounded by all the Great Lakes. No, I know exactly what it's like.
It's not fun at all.
No, it's some heavy, wet fucking stuff that sort of resembles snow, but it's ten times more dense.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No.
So I've had to deal with that. And I was at work, and I was supposed to be off at 8, and the snow hit, and then everybody didn't want to pick up food anymore. They all wanted it delivered, so.
That's what happens.
That was all kinds of fun.
Yeah, well, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how was your Christmas?
It was good.
Madison gets spoiled.
She got beaten. She got coal and rocks.
She got coal and rocks.
Didn't wrap them, but just threw them at her.
Indeed.
And I'm sure she enjoyed every second of having
done that. Oh, my God, that kid got so much stuff, it wasn't even funny. It wasn't even funny. The funniest part about Christmas morning was we did Christmas morning at my mother-in-law's because my mom and my stepdad went down to my sister's in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And so we were at my mother-in-law's, and we switch back and forth every year. Like, one year we're at my mom's house, the other year at my mother-in-law's. But anyway, we get over there Christmas morning after letting the dogs out, and I open the door, and I don't even take two steps into the door, and this four-year-old is attached to my leg going, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Santa left presents, come see, come see." I'm like, "All right, hold, calm down, it's okay." So we go into the living room, we sit down, and we start opening presents, and there's this big one. I didn't remember what it was that we got her, but she opened it up, and she's like, "Daddy, Santa got me a box!" And it was a copy paper box. I forgot we put this dollhouse that we got her inside of it. She was excited that she just got a box.
"Dad, I got a box!"
She didn't even open it yet. She was excited that there was a box there.
It shows you how much you could have paid for Christmas.
Okay, how many sugar plums and shit like that did you feed her before actual real breakfast?
She had a candy cane and a bunch of Reese's Pieces, or a bunch of Reese's Cups, and an orange before we actually had Christmas breakfast.
And she's, what, 4 years old? Of course she's going to be buzzing about getting a box for Christmas with all that.
Well, this was at, like, the buzzing of the box.
In her head, the box was probably flashing colors at that point.
Well, before the, I mean, this, she had all of that after she opened presents.
Okay.
So she was just psyched Christmas morning. It was really fun. It was a lot of fun.
I was just reading what Mike said, put in the chat room. He called you to wish you a Merry Christmas, and you were like, "What's up, my white Negro friend?"
Yeah, my white Negro friend.
Yeah, say it fast.
My white Negro friend?
Yeah, it almost sounds like you say my white new girlfriend.
Yeah, my white Negro.
Yeah.
He is a white Negro.
So people in the back room were all spazzing out when you said that.
Oh, no, because I was at my aunt's, and I was out on the front porch.
His mom didn't hear it. That would have been funny.
Who, his mom?
Yeah, apparently she's got a wicked sense of humor, not like Mike.
I think Mike's mom would laugh at the fact that I call him a white Negro.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm saying. I don't know how many of you guys have Facebook, and for those of you that do have Facebook, I don't know how much attention you guys pay to Facebook, but when I logged into Facebook the other day, I saw a little blurb that Mike had joined or became a fan of the Seventh-day Adventist Club. So I'm assuming that he's a Seventh-day Adventist, which means he's more Jewish than I am.
They are pretty Jewy.
They're as Jewish as you can get and still be Christian. The Seventh-day Adventists. I know what I'm talking about. I know Seventh-day Adventists, man.
I'm not disagreeing with you. They are very Jewy.
And no, Mike, we're not shooting on the Seventh-day Adventists. We're just shooting on you.
Yeah, no, I know a couple Seventh-day Adventists.
I know probably more than you do.
Oh, I without a doubt. I think I know like two or three.
Yeah, well,
only because they're like my neighbors.
Yeah, well, I only know them because I'm related to the fuckers, and they live in like Michigan. So
they are very Jewy,
cousins and shit, eh? But yeah, like I said, if you're a Seventh Day Adventist, if you know anybody who's a Seventh Day Adventist, look at when you see them, say L'chaim, because they'll understand what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, should we get on with the show, guys?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Why don't we start at... And let's take a look at the stories of the year. Here's what we've got to choose from. By the way, everybody, the phone lines are open. 888-357-9876, option number one to get into the action and get in on all the fun here on the best of 2009. Story of the year first up. First story, Hulk Hogan announces his signing TNA.
Wait, that's what we picked, the story of the year?
No, that's one of
He's
them.
Just going through options here.
I'm going to give you a whole list. Okay. We also have the death of Umaga. WWE announces weekly guest hosts. WWE versus the Denver Nuggets. Jeff Jarrett being sent home by Dixie Carter. Jeff Hardy leaving the WWE, then getting arrested on drug trafficking charges. And the last one, Bret Hart signs a short-term contract with WWE. He's not going to be appearing before 2010. He signed in 2009. It becomes a top contender for Story of the Year. How big was it that Hulk Hogan signed with TNA?
I don't think it's nearly as big as Bret Hart in WWE.
Okay.
Simply because Bret Hart vanished from the public limelight for how long? And
he's been out wrestling for years now.
He vanished from the public limelight and the wrestling limelight for, 12 years. And then, Hogan's been wrestling. He did his tour in Australia. It was, it was only a matter of time before Hogan came back to wrestling. It was just a matter of which company. Bret Hart signing with WWE and with the events that happened with him leaving, I think is the bigger news deal for the year because of everything that surrounds it.
Uh-huh. Okay, Mace, what's your thought?
I'm agreeing with Spug with Bret Hart signs the deal because, like he said, he disappeared off the face of the wrestling world and all of a sudden he's come back and it's pretty much squashed every other news story that's come along.
Omega?
I'm going to be the dissenter here.
Ooh.
I will admit, it's a huge news story, but until he walks down the ramp on WWE television, then it's still not final in my head. And besides, this is the pro wrestling industry. Just about anything can happen. And for Bret, enough time for wounds to heal, enough money thrown at him, and him getting sick of being a genie on a stage show, and that's all it needed for him to come back.
I don't even think Omega that it's the amount of money. It basically comes down to shock value. Bret Hart didn't even need to walk down a ramp for it to be the biggest news story of the year, simply because Hogan has been in wrestling and will continue to be in wrestling until the day he dies. And part of it has to do with his divorce from Linda right now. But Bret Hart showing back up in a WWE ring, if he does actually walk down the aisle and show up in a WWE ring, that to me is the biggest news story of the decade.
Well, you stop and you think about it. Yeah, Bret Hart away from professional wrestling, like from the big stage, for 10 years. He's made appearances at indie events all over North America and even in England. And he didn't show up. Okay, never mind. So he hasn't 100% been out of the limelight. He's had DVD released. He's had two books so far released, with another two expected to come out. So his name has been out there, just not as, not connected with the big name of WWE, WWF, or TNA, or anything like that. Yet, Bret has had nothing ever in his entire post-career to do with TNA. I have seen episodes of TNA where they, Hebner shows up, and what does the TNA crowd chant?
the same thing that they've been trained to do anytime Hebner comes out anywhere.
Right, you screwed Brett. Okay, Bret Hart is in the forefront of every wrestling fan who's older than the age of five. Over the age of five. I mean, even my son has heard of Bret Hart. And he's not allowed to follow wrestling, which is a different story altogether.
But isn't Bret a part of, like, some Canadian newspaper?
Well, no, he used to write a column for the Calgary Sun, but that was, like, 10 years ago. Well, he was still wrestling, actually. Yeah, 12 years ago when he was still wrestling. He wrote a weekly column for the Calgary Sun. And basically all it was snippets of stuff that he had recorded, which wound up being in his books. So.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, Hogan is a big deal in his own right, because Hogan coming to TNA is, you know, Hogan wanting to try and put another company above WWE. That's the only reason you do that. That's a money grab and wanting to be better than your previous company. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
But if you judge Hogan against the other news stories, I don't even think it's in the top three. I think Jeff Hardy being arrested is a bigger deal than Hogan and TNA.
Oh, yeah, by far. I mean, if I was picking a story for 2009, it would probably be Jeff Hardy's arrest, just because, you know, it's Jeff Hardy. You expect, you know, drug possession, you know, that's normal for Jeff. Drug trafficking, on the other hand, and having such a big deal over it, that's a little bit more far-fetched. That I wouldn't expect out of a major star in the business, especially one like Jeff Hardy, who can basically do as he wishes in the WWE, and they'll still welcome him back and hand him a world title anytime they want.
Well, we got an Aussie on the line. Hey, Aussie, who are you, and why the hell are you calling me?
You know, it's the heel Aussie.
The heel
Aussie? It's the Aussie nobody likes.
It's the wanted Aussie.
Fuck hey, you, I'm Aussie.
How you doing, Nick?
Not too bad. I thought I should call in and defend the Hulk Hogan story, because I think it's more than Hogan that you need to acknowledge.
It's Elias, right?
Bischoff. It's the fact that he's planning on being behind the scenes.
All right, here's the thing, Nick. We don't mention Bischoff in that story because it's Hogan was the first one.
The entertainment company, which was a combination of Hogan and Bischoff.
Well, here's the thing. Bischoff is going to be more concerned about backroom stuff with Spike TV than he is with TNA.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's more or less along for the ride.
Yeah, the reason why he's even thought of at all by some hardcore wrestling fans is because of the name, and he went along with Hogan. Fact of the matter is, Hogan agreed, as long as Spike would agree, to basically put Bischoff on a retainer. And
well,
he's there specifically to develop shows and not just wrestling stuff.
You say that. We know that as all the facts, but I have it from Eric Bischoff's own Twitter account. He's been laughing at all the rumors flying about what he's doing, because we don't know exactly what his position is at TNA.
But again, he's not with TNA.
Yeah,
he's not with
Spike TV. It's a completely different matter.
He works for Spike. He doesn't work for TNA.
And that's why
he works for the Harvey Entertainment, which is also the company that owns Hulk Hogan. If you actually go through the paperwork.
It's not Harvey, it's Hervey. Jason Hervey is Eric Bischoff's business associate. Those are the two guys that put together Hulk Hogan Celebrity Championship Wrestling, which had nothing to do with TNA.
Bischoff being involved with TNA it's not a permanent position. He's not the booker. He's not getting the book. He's there to help them develop stuff, but he's not there to run the company like he was doing in WCW or what his gimmick was in WWE as Raw General Manager. He's simply a production guy. So you can't mention Bischoff with the Hogan story. Why? Because the two were exclusive.
Mutually exclusive. And the reason why Bischoff is twittering on his account that he's laughing at all the rumors, he's talking about the rumors of him being heavily involved with TNA. He's laughing at those rumors.
And that, well, see, that aside, I don't even think Hulk Hogan being in TNA is that big of a story, because it's Hulk Hogan. I mean, we knew years ago that he has no integrity left. He has
Oh, he lost it long ago. Agreed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, Celebrity Championship Wrestling is a perfect example of that.
Oh, no. He lost his integrity in the 90s. Come on, guys. Don't give him
Yeah, he'll show up at your kid's birthday party for $500. I mean, there's nothing big about Hogan showing up anywhere.
I think where he really lost his integrity was earlier, middle of the decade, when all that stuff was coming out with Brooke Hogan, you know, the pictures of him oiling her back at a resort in a very unfather-like fashion.
Yeah, that kind of sort of looked suspicious, but it was just pictures that could be taken out of context.
I there's lots of things in the world that can be taken out of context, but the way those I don't care how those photos were taken or what context those photos should be in. You, as a parent and as an adult, should never, ever, 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 ever be in that position with a minor, let alone your own child.
Now, Tony in the chat room says Hulk Hogan's a bigger story just because it's Hulk Hogan. Let me ask you something, Tony. What are you going to be watching January 4th? Nick, why don't you explain it to us?
What do you want me to... Sorry, what do you want me to explain? On January 4th, you're going to be starting off with... Yeah, Mace, you're going to say something I was going to say.
I was actually going to point out, if you want to get technical with the whole who signed on with who thing, Hogan isn't technically signed with TNA. He's signed with Panda Energy, just licensed out to TNA, which could throw the entire thing technically into the trash. Just thought I'd point that out.
Good call. Good call. I like that. Good on the eyes.
Props to Mace. That is right. And
well,
it's not even Hogan directly, if you look it up, thoroughly enough.
Going back through
Bischoff Company.
Going back to what I was talking about, Nick, you typed it. Now say it.
Well, Hulk Hogan is a substantially larger name than Bret Hart in business. Because guaranteed, in 10, 15 years' time, more people are going to remember Hogan than they are in Bret.
Really? You know what? Overall, I might agree with you. For the overall body of work, I might agree with you. But Bret Hart is bigger than Hogan for one reason and one reason only. And that is a little city called Montreal in 1997.
Now, in this case, I don't think it's even that. I mean, just as we explained, Hogan puts himself out everywhere. I mean, it's not hard to go see Hulk Hogan. Bret has been seclusive in the wrestling industry. He's barely been anywhere. It's the same way like how Andre the Giant used to be booked. No one cared when you put him out every night. But when Vince took over his booking and he started showing up maybe once a month as a big attraction, then people got interested. Sometimes you build a bigger deal by holding back and then letting it out. Because Hogan's a bigger name doesn't make him a bigger draw.
Now, let's just take a look at it this way, okay?
You know what?
Every wrestler...
Hold on.
Hang on.
I just wanted to agree with Omega and tell him it's a very valid point.
It's an extremely valid point. But every wrestling promoter worth his salt, be it Vince, be it the guys in TNA, or be it the guy in the indie scene who's running that wrestling promotion once a month in Canton, Ohio. Every wrestling promoter has it drilled into his head from day one. Always leave the fans wanting more. Who has succeeded in doing this? Bret?
Vince.
Or Hulk Hogan or Bret Hart?
Bret Hart. Bar none.
Bar none. Exactly. He has left the fans wanting more. Again, you're saying Hulk Hogan is a much bigger name than Bret Hart. I agree with that. But
Here's the thing. Hulk Hogan has become a cartoon of himself, and that's why he's a bigger name than Bret Hart. Bret Hart has never lost his integrity to the point where people are sick and tired of him, think that he's the whiner that everybody accuses him of being.
Well, all right. Can I jump in?
Go for it.
Sort of starts ranting and raving. Just to sort of go back on Nick's thing of, you know, 10, 15 years, nobody's going to remember Bret. It's been what?
I never said that. I never said nobody's going to remember Bret. I said Hulk Hogan's going to be the bigger name.
Well, Hogan's the bigger name now overall because of what Hogan did for the wrestling business. But go ahead, Mace.
What I was going to say is that they said back when the screw job happened, oh yeah, in 10 years, nobody will remember the name Bret Hart. Yet here we are, what, 12, 13 years later, and we're talking about it.
12 years and a month later, and the biggest news story of the year, even Will sent this in to Rock for us to let you know what his thoughts were. The biggest story of the year is Bret Hart, although he does find the Jeff Hardy story extremely hilarious.
The Jeff Hardy story is extremely hilarious for the simple fact that we had all kind of assumed that Jeff Hardy had gotten himself clean by being back in WWE, because that was one of the original stipulations, if you remember, that if Jeff Hardy was to come back from WWE, or from TNA to WWE, he had to go through rehab and get himself clean. Well, in his stint back in WWE, he had two wellness policy violations.
Yeah.
And then the night after he drops the championship to CM Punk at a pay-per-view, he is arrested at his home for drug trafficking, drug paraphernalia, and we're not talking little petty misdemeanors. We're talking federal felonies that could land him in Leavenworth.
That's, restricted drugs being shipped across state lines.
That's the biggie right there. Class 2, Schedule 2 narcotics.
Yep.
Which, if you don't know what Schedule 2 narcotics are, you're looking at, like, your cocaines, your methamphetamines, things like that. And
what class is heroin, out of curiosity?
I believe it's a Schedule 2 as well. Heroin might be a Schedule 1. I don't remember all the schedules. But you know what? That throws an interesting caveat into it, too. The fact that with the drug arrest, and I hate to rehash this, but doesn't that shed new light on the fire in his house, or in his trailer, a year ago?
You'd almost think so.
You
have to remember, he was like 100 miles away when it happened.
Yeah,
I know.
You think a meth lab went up?
Exactly.
Well, then it's his own goddamn fault for leaving the Bunsen burner unattended when he went out when he went on his date.
Dude, you don't have to leave a Bunsen burner unattended. You know how volatile meth labs are without anything being lit? I mean, those chemicals are extremely volatile.
Very unstable.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But, I mean, that's not the point. The point is that, well, Jeff Hardy is a big deal for the year because of it had been seemingly that he had got his life turned around. All of a sudden, perhaps it's not as everything as it seems.
Mace, sorry.
I went to school to be a cop, Mace. So yes, I do know a lot about meth labs.
We should let the people hear what Mace has to say. I mean, go ahead, Mace.
No, it's pretty much all I typed was Spug seems to know a lot about meth labs. ...
Yeah,
well, that's pretty much it.
But then again,
Spug has been known to admit that he has napalm sitting in his garage. So
I do not have napalm in my garage anymore. It is gone.
Okay, that's worse. You know that. Where do you use up that much napalm?
Have you been to Cambodia recently?
No, we actually did something very bad with it.
Uh-oh.
You drove to Canada, didn't you?
No, we buried it.
Bad thing.
We dug a 4-foot hole and buried it.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Dump the container into the ground.
Oh,
and then build it back up with dirt.
Shame on you. Why would you do that?
So when should we be expecting to hear the news story of kids being blown up because they accidentally found it?
It's not in the container anymore. We dumped it out into this hole and then filled it with kitty litter and lime and such.
And you're just hoping that will take care of it, huh?
It's in the middle of a 5-acre field in bumfuck Ohio.
That'll still be fun when it goes off. What the hell? Okay, so looking at it, pretty much the consensus is Bret Hart signs a short-term contract with WWE, being the 2009 story of the year, with one dissenter being Omega because it's proof where it didn't happen, as far as you're concerned.
Well, not only that, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I always kind of figured Bret would be back eventually. I thought it'd be after Vince died, but other than that, I mean, yeah, it's a huge news story. I think Jeff's just a little bit bigger because that was just completely out of left field for me.
Okay, so with you thinking Jeff Jarrett, Jeff Hardy, his drug bust being the bigger story, I think the consensus pretty much is the rest of us think that's like, ha-ha, fucker, story of the year.
I would say so.
Yeah. What about Jeff Jarrett getting sent home by Dexie Carter because he's fooling around with Angle's ex-wife?
Hey, you know, go ahead.
Oh, jeez. Did he just turn into like the President Clinton of wrestling? Just get excused from your job because you got caught fooling around.
Yeah, but Clinton was pardoned. Don't forget,
Clinton was pardoned, but Clinton also lied at first. But that's beyond the scope of the conversation.
Well, that depends on your definition of sex. I mean, if it doesn't include oral, then he's off scot-free. Or on Lewinsky, which is really strange. I said this in the chat room last night, but it still boggles the mind. Bill Clinton is the only man on the planet who was able to find the only Jewish girl on the planet who didn't know how to get a stain out of a dress.
She kept it like a souvenir. That was the scary part.
Oh, God. Look, I got Bill's DNA.
Well, it was Linda Tripp who told him to keep it, but again, that's a conversation for a different time.
It's a conversation for Burning River Radio, I think, maybe.
Sometime. But, yeah. Here's the funny thing about it. If you look at the Jeff Jarrett thing, isn't that not the first time? That's not the first time that he's been caught or that he's been reprimanded for that behavior, if I'm correct on that.
It's not the first time that he's been disciplined for hanky-panky.
Exactly. So it's not that big of a surprise. But to do it with the guy that you brought into the company to be your star, to help take you to the next level, and for him to not kill you on public on live television or tape television, I'm surprised that the story we're not talking about this year for that little incident is the murder of Jeff Jarrett by Kurt Angle.
Oh, yeah. Then again, did Angle's wife leave him for Jarrett, or did this all started happening after they were separated? Right? You know what I mean, Jillian? Mm-hmm. Right? So, yeah, you know, yeah, Angle getting a little bit pissed off and all that other stuff. I don't think Jarrett is the cause of his marriage ending. I mean, there were rumors of rockiness before he even left WWE. So, yeah. But, you know, you stop and you think about all the other choices. Umaga's death, while tragic, it wasn't anywhere near the story of the year, simply because, and Spug, I'm not gonna try to start up a war of words with you here, but the matter
I'm
is...
I'm not in the mood to war tonight.
It's just another wrestler death, and it's become, you know, like the more you're exposed to something, the more...
Exactly.
...numb you become to it.
No, I agree. I agree. Look, I'm not in it to start wars of words tonight. I'm really not. I'm in a good mood.
Okay.
But, yeah, it is just another wrestler death. But when you bring up, Jeff Jarrett, isn't it just another wrestler fucking around with another wrestler's wife? How many times does that happen?
Well, that's a fairly not uncommon experience. I mean, not to say anything nasty about Tammy Sitch. Come on, think about it. When she was Sunny, there are a bunch of wrestlers who had a whole bunch of sunny days, if you know what I mean, Jelly Bean.
Well, say something about Lita then.
You know?
Exactly.
That's the most high-profile one there has been to date. Edge and Lita fooling around behind Matt's back, giving Omega enough ammunition to last him to 2035.
All right. So, sorry, Tim, if I might interject, I'd just like to say, personally for me, that was one of the more shocking moments of the year, just because it was only a few days earlier that I'd seen Umaga wrestling, and he was in the best shape I'd ever seen him.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's definitely...
So that's just all my personal opinion.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a shock, and it's a tragic thing. But we're running a little bit long here. Coming up on the other side of their first time out of the evening, we'll talk about the surprise of the year in the world of professional wrestling, not just WWE, but everything else that's going on. And, Nick, I've got one thing to say to you as we go to break.
Fuck off.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, you're listening to the WTR Sunday Night Best of 2009. We'll be back on the other side of this. Stay tuned.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Generation X, here with another holiday gift-giving idea. You know, what I love about the holidays is that it's a time for goodwill towards men, peace on earth. It is, Sean. And what better way to celebrate those things than with the Elimination Chamber, the ultimate playset. Destruction, pain, yes, and suffering. What better way to enjoy the holidays? You know, Sean, it's very lifelike. One-to-one scale. It's got four sliding chamber doors, removable roof. It's got all the realism. It holds over 85 superstars, and it's got 40 pieces to it. 40 pieces. Man, awesome. It's got to be a son of a gun to put together. I mean, I can just see it. You know, you've been up till 4 o'clock in the morning putting the other gifts together, you know, trying to get everything perfect for Christmas. And then, you know, the kids pull you out of bed at 6, and you can't say, hey, you've only had 2 hours of sleep. You got to get on the Elimination Chamber, because, Daddy, I want you to put the Elimination Chamber together for me, because I want to play with it. So you can play with the other 15 gifts you got. No, I want the Elimination Chamber. I want it now. It's got 40 pieces. It's going to take me a little while. Could you have a little patience? By the way, did I tell you about the details? All this holiday cheer brought to you by D-Generation X, available at WWE Shop.
You want to know the ironic thing? Is that when you're actually finally done and you still got 5 pieces left over, all they want to do is play with the box. You done. Are you kidding me?
It is a nice box.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otaku Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a
slinky. Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This one. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, so he is smart enough to say duck. He dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, duck, and any other flying object.
Okay, okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase, with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
All right, hang on a second. Dun. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm going to roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LAB Rule, Chapter 7. Subsection 15.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Tuesdays, 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Lacey Von Erich, you're listening to The Network, Kim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night. Hey, along with the Spud Guy, Mace, the Thunder from Down Under, and the Omega Man, it's yours truly, Tim Stein.
They tell me I'm a sexual Jedi.
And I have a message for everybody who might be missing Cindy Sin directly from Cindy herself.
Fuck you and go to hell.
Yeah, meanwhile, back at the ranch.
God. It's right. Like a kid with his new toy after Christmas.
Well, you know, I got to find ways to amuse myself somehow. Shut up, Omega. I wasn't sure who to address that to first. You were, or Spug, you went by default.
You know, I really do like those DX Christmas commercials.
They're funny. I will give you that much. They'd be funnier if the guys were like in their late 20s instead of their late 40s, but...
Oh, that just makes the obvious sellout even more amusing.
There you go, yeah. So the most commercial group, the most commercial faction in wrestling history, there you go. Everybody, last segment we talked about the story of the year and general consensus, Bret Hart signing a short-year contract with the WWE. Now let's talk about the surprise of the year. How big a deal was it that Christian returned to the WWE?
Negligible.
Yeah, right?
If they actually used him, that would have been a surprise.
In anything other than ECW, which they're adamantly trying to kill.
Yeah.
What about Randy Orton punting Vince McMahon in the head? Is that a candidate for surprise of the year?
Has that happened sooner or later?
Yes, but it's not because of what the not because of the punting in the ring. It was gonna happen sooner or later, as Mace said. The fact that Vince let Randy essentially shoot on him and stiff him in the ring.
That Vince actually went through with it is the surprise.
Not that Vince went through with the punting, because you saw how Vince took a stunner. You know, he always took a stunner, but he sold it well, but he never took the full impact. That punt to the head, you can't not take that full impact, and he took it.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's a bit of a surprise. What about Mickey Rourke knocking out Chris Jericho?
Eh, pure storyline.
Meh.
100% not a big deal. How about the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man winning the WWE title over John Cena? Is that a huge surprise?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a surprise, don't you think? I mean, after all, he basically became kryptonite to John Cena.
Yeah, basically, he did the one thing that nobody else has been able to do, and we're still shocked that he's got the belt.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the kind of, that's the kind of thing where you're just sitting there going, okay, Vince is going to come out and reverse this decision somehow. Something is going to happen here. And then nothing happens, and you're still sitting there going, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, okay, so that was big. Go ahead, Spud.
The surprising thing about that is not that the decision wasn't reversed. It was that from the beginning, the title change overall. Omega said it a couple weeks ago when that pay-per-view happened. There are a few people that I could think of that deserve that WWE title push before Sheamus, and all of a sudden you're going to put it on Sheamus? That's the surprise right there, that they didn't give it to Kofi or back to CM Punk or anybody who was in the title picture and is at that echelon of championship talent.
So you think that it was given to him over others before he deserved it?
Exactly. That's what makes it a surprise.
That's a bit of a surprise. Okay. What about Hulk Hogan returning to wrestling by signing with TNA?
He never left wrestling. He was doing his show in Australia. I'm sorry, I'll shut up.
There you go. Mace?
Spoke nailed it in the head. Hogan never leaves wrestling.
No matter what.
Exactly.
Yeah, Omega? Is this a surprise? Hey! Breaking news! Hulk Hogan just signed a contract with TNA. You okay?
No, that means TNA said, okay, we're willing to pay you this. Yes, I'll do it. And that's the entire negotiation. It's Hulk Hogan! Yeah. The guy's done everything he could to whore himself out to national television.
Yeah, he's put himself over at the expense of better people than him for decades. And I expect more of the same, in 8 days. So, Bret Hart signing a deal with the WWE. Surprise of the year, yes or no?
Can it be story of the year and surprise of the year? I'm just wondering.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, it's on the list, right? So it's eligible to be picked.
For me, like I said, it's something that I expected to happen one day. I mean, yeah, it's still a huge surprise because it's freaking Bret Hart. You know, I'd expect him to set fire to WWE headquarters before he'd ever actually sign a contract again.
Mm-hmm.
But and I'd still put Sheamus as the surprise of the year just because that's the entire direction of their top company. That's the signal that they send to their locker room, who's been struggling for years to get noticed, and this guy comes out of nowhere and gets the title for a storyline.
Okay.
It's just what it does to the Raw brand and the WWE's outlook in general. It's just everything about it takes me back just a little bit more than Bret.
Okay. Mace, what do you think?
First of all, I'd like to hope that's the final Mace internet dropout of 2009.
Well, we've got our fingers crossed.
And surprise of the year, I'm going to go with Sheamus wins the WWE title. It was something that nobody saw coming, and, you know, as much as the Bret Hart signing was a surprise, still somebody upsetting John Cena that we just wouldn't have picked in a million years.
Okay. So you are saying John or Sheamus, and excuse me.
So Marshmello is getting a title.
Okay. And so Spud, one of your most surprising moments is Randy Orton, but what do you pick as the surprise of the year?
It's Sheamus. It's got to be the Sheamus bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because, again, back to the, they picked Sheamus over a bunch of other people who deserved that title shot a lot more than he did, or a title run a lot more than he did, and gave it to him.
All right. Well, I can't go with Sheamus because I saw the build that they were giving him, the push that he was receiving. They're turning him into a monster long before he even got the title shot. It wasn't as big a surprise to me as Bret Hart's agreeing to a short-term contract. So for me, the surprise of the year and the story of the year are the same one, Bret Hart signing a deal with the WWE. And, oh, yeah, Jersey Girl says, in other words, Sheamus sucked up to Triple H. No, not exactly. You can change up
they,
to.
They were having a workout in the gym.
You can change the two words up to the word off.
that's not fair to say. That's really not fair to say.
No, it's not fair to say it. I'm just having fun. But fact of the matter,
I know you're having fun. But
you know, behind the scenes, it's known that Triple H basically picked Sheamus. Triple H and I can't remember who the other guy is, but two main lighters basically picked Sheamus over everybody else to be worthy of their attention and their training.
Well, he must be doing something right. You know what I mean?
So, well, yeah. I mean, you don't get anywhere just by granting somebody else sexual favors. It doesn't happen that way. Usually, you wind up being chased with a golf club while you're trying to drive away. Just saying.
Really? With the Tiger Woods jokes?
Yeah. With the Tiger Woods jokes, sorry.
You'd be ashamed.
Yeah. Bad enough they were on Raw.
Oh, that was terrible. Oh, as soon as I saw that Tony the Tiger come out with that model chasing him, man, I'm thinking,
don't do that.
Because that was just bad. But anyway.
Oh, come on. That was funny. I thought that was funny, but
I didn't find humor in it. I didn't think it was fun. I thought it was stupid.
Did you just say classless in WWE in the same sentence?
Who said that?
I thought you just said it was classless by the WWE. I went, what? Really?
No. I said it wasn't funny. I'll
give you not funny. I mean, overall not funny, but I think the fact that they actually played up to it was funny.
It went over with the crowd like a lead balloon, and they did it not once, but three times.
Because the WWE crowds on average are stupid. They don't get it.
I'm sure that WWE fans will be happy to hear your opinion of them. Not saying that you're 100% wrong. You're not. I mean, there are some out there who's, you know, we. But still. Not every wrestling fan is a moron. And not all morons are.
No. not all wrestling fans are morons, but the average intelligence base of a WWE audience would make a Weaver School kid look like Albert Einstein.
There you go, yeah. They're only morons on Monday nights. Nice going, Rock.
Hey, when did we start talking about Monday Night Mayhem here?
No. That's not what he meant.
Okay, so what does that make them if they're on Tuesday night?
Well, Thursday night for TNA.
No, we're just going on WWE fans here.
Okay, now let's quit being so goddamn philosophical. Okay, so the majority picked Sheamus winning the title. Will and I are both in agreement that we picked Bret Hart signing with the WWE. However, if it wasn't for Bret Hart, then I would say the holy fuck moment of the year was Sheamus taking the title off of John Cena.
So the only reason why is because your Canadian butt buddy was a news item?
No, he's not a butt buddy. And you guys got to start realizing that I'm not a Bret Hart mark the way you guys think I am.
No, we just like making fun of you because you're Canadian. That's really what it boils down to.
Which just shows the lack of an intelligence on your part. But that's beside the point.
No, seriously though, if it weren't for Sheamus, I would side with you about Bret. But the fact that they took the title off of Cena and said we're going to give somebody else a run with it, and they picked the Stay Puft Irish Marshmallow Boy of all people. That to me is a little bit bigger deal.
Well, again, I don't find that to be a big surprise. But there you have it, the surprise of the year. Next, we got the breakout star of the year, guys. This should be a pretty easy one. We've got Kofi Kingston, Sheamus, Desmond Wolfe, or The Miz.
Go, Miz.
I'm inclined to say Sheamus because he got the world title and the push that he has, but I'm actually going to go with Kofi Kingston because his popularity has jumped up a shitload, and he's one of the guys that you pretty much enjoy watching when they're wrestling.
Omega, what do you think?
Well, considering he did win the world title, Sheamus is almost there. But here's the problem. This is breakout star of the year, and in my opinion, Sheamus is not a star. He had a good build, fine, but it was still only 5 months. He's a five-month rookie in the WWE. He hasn't earned it. He hasn't gone anywhere, and he hasn't convinced me of anything that makes me think he is worth giving two shits about, let alone giving a world title to. I still want him to earn his way up to that, not just have it handed to him because Triple H seemed to like him.
Wow, there's a lot of bitterness coming from Omega tonight. Isn't that usually reserved for me?
Well, you showed up late, so I kind of took a little bit in.
And everybody's got to pick up your slack when you're being in a nice mood, Spug.
So there. Blame the perk set.
Okay.
He's on perk set. Uh-oh.
All right. At No Way Out, at the beginning of the year, Kofi Kingston was put in the Elimination Chamber match, and it was a total left-field moment. And no one gave him any credit, and he was taken out of it before the match even started. So even the WWE wasn't taking it seriously. Uh-huh. It was just one of those random things. At the time, you thought, well, there's no point to that. He doesn't deserve to be in there. If he was in a one-on-one match for a world title at the next pay-per-view, you'd believe he'd have a solid chance of winning. He's come that far in the last year, and that, to me, makes him a far better breakout star of the year than Sheamus. Just because he went, you know, because he's earned it. He's built up. He's done it the way it should be done. He hasn't been handed a title because, I don't know, Triple H had a workout with him one day.
Can I interject?
Go ahead.
For 1 second? There's a thing going on in the chat room at the moment. Surprise, surprise, led by Nick, about Desmond Wolfe. You know, yeah, he's saying, you know, what is Desmond Wolfe? Chopped liver, and he's made a huge impact. 2 months does not a year make.
Yeah.
You know what? And
here's the other guys on the list have been around for 6 months or more, and they've gotten past their initial, you know, oh my God, he's a new guy, let's give him a push, give him a chance. Whereas
here's the other caveat about Desmond Wolfe.
Desmond Wolfe was also ROH heavyweight champion. Desmond Wolfe is not a no name. He goes by the name of Nigel McGuinness. He's not a no name. He's not a nobody. He's not a developmental guy just coming up.
Yeah, well, and keep in mind, TNA is basically an indie promotion that has a TV deal. Because they still let their stars wrestle elsewhere with permission. They still have all of their main shows in the same building every week. There's nothing about them that makes them much bigger than Ring of Honor other than a TV deal.
Yeah. But at the same time, even if they put down Nigel McGuinness, he was a rising star back in 2006. He's very well established in Ring of Honor today.
Exactly.
Like, don't get me wrong. You know, Nigel McGuinness, great wrestler and everything, but he's just debuted in TNA, and unless you actually follow Ring of Honor, you'd realize that the guy was a rising star about 3 years ago.
Omega made a good point that TNA is still basically an indie fed with the TV deal. Here's the thing. ROH has had TV deals. However, they've only been regional. TNA has that national television deal. Well, I should say international because it does cross the borders, just like WWE. So as far as global recognition, you talk to your average wrestling fan and you say, hey, what do you think about Nigel McGuinness? And they'll say, who the fuck is that? You say, hey, what do you think about Kofi Kingston? And they say, hey, that's a great Jamaican Nigerian.
Generian.
So, yeah, Generian. Right? Hey, what about Sheamus? Yeah, he's really white. Wow. Right? Desmond Wolfe. Well, isn't that Nigel McGuinness? And didn't I just say, who the fuck is that? Right? Yeah. So, basically, as far as Desmond Wolfe / Nigel McGuinness goes, he's had one memorable outing. One legendary memorable outing on the world stage, and that was the pay-per-view match he had against Kurt Angle.
It was both matches.
Yeah.
Because I will admit, he put on two of the best matches of the year. I'd probably pick one of those matches over anything that WWE put on. Maybe short of Undertaker and Shawn Michaels.
You better watch what you're saying there, buddy, for a second.
I'll give Nigel McGuinness / Desmond Wolfe all the credit in the world. He's had two live pay-per-view matches, and both times he put on match of the year quality performances.
Yep.
I'll give him all the credit in the world for that.
Okay. But I don't disagree with you. However, I stand by my point. He's too new on the scene.
Right.
Well, on the main stage anyway.
Yeah, on the main stage. So, as far as the breakout star of the year goes, yeah, sure, Sheamus beats John Cena in a pay-per-view. There you go. It wasn't match of the year quality, mainly because it had John Cena in it. But at the same time, it wasn't anything special. Kofi Kingston, they have really built a great story between him and Randy Orton, and they've made him into somebody who's legit. He's credible. You can actually believe that he would be in the running for the main event at almost any point in time. Who knows? Maybe Kofi Kingston will wind up being the next contestant on the WWE title is up for grabs. And I'm kind of surprised that he hasn't had that chance yet.
Honestly, my vote for Breakout Star of the Year goes to The Miz. Because
really?
He's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, really.
And
no. Go ahead.
And the thing is, the reason why I say that is if you look at him, he's gone from general obscurity toiling on SmackDown and ECW to tagging with Morrison to building heel heat. Look, he gets heat. He gets heel heat. And he gets the right kind of heat.
He gets JBL-style heel heat.
JBL got genuine, venomous heat. Heel hate.
the thing with
Hey,
the
Keith, is
yeah,
okay.
The thing with Miz, he got me screwed up for a second. The thing with Miz that really sets him apart as a heel is that I've met him before, and he really isn't that big of an ass. He genuinely is a humble, nice guy. But he just comes off as such an arrogant, pompous prick on television. And that's good. That's good stuff.
Well, that's what he's supposed to do, and he pulls it off great. Kind of like Chris Jericho in his early days. And yes, I just compared The Miz to Chris Jericho in his early days.
Which is actually a very, very good comparison when you look at it.
When you think about it.
Because I'm thinking Jericho 98 in the feud with Malenko.
Yep.
The whiny, annoying loophole.
That's exactly what I was flashing back to.
I will back up Spug here. I almost went with The Miz. If Kofi wasn't doing so well right now, I would have gone with The Miz simply because he's getting the kind of reaction that a future major star would get. You could definitely tell that he's getting over the crowd and he's getting very popular as a heel. And it's not because he's the kind of heel you love to hate. You love to see him go in there and do his thing, and he does it very well. And you know, and when you hear the crowd, you know, they're now taking to the "I'm awesome" catch line at the end. They're saying it with him, akin to,
and
The Rock or Austin, and how they were built up.
You know what the thing about that is? That's death for a heel.
Oh yeah. I mean, as a heel, the last thing you want is people getting behind you.
You remember when the crowd started doing that with The Rock? What The Rock did?
Mm-hmm.
He would stop halfway through and say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! This ain't sing along with The Rock."
At the beginning, but you know,
yeah, that just added more character to The Rock, though, and people just started liking him more.
And you take a look at what happened when they started doing that with
Austin.
Armando Estrada.
That's the one I was going to bring up. He came out one day, tried to do it, and just stopped, just walked out. And it was dead from there.
And that was Vince's doing to put the kibosh on Estrada right then and there, because Vince did not want the crowd getting into it. However, you know, this is how we see a heel become a favorite face, the crowd getting behind him. Stone Cold Steve Austin. People were supposed to hate him. He was supposed to be not the anti-hero, but a heel. The fans just dug into that, you know, Austin 316 said, "I just whipped your ass," and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. It was a catchy catchphrase, and, you know, he became the anti-hero, the everyman that you wanted to cheer. And they ran with that, and there's no reason why they can't run with that with The Miz. Maybe my vote next year will be for The Miz, but right now I'm sticking with Kofi Kingston, breakout star of the year.
Kofi is a very big star. He's done a lot this year, and I will give you that. They're neck and neck, but the thing that I, in my opinion, that puts The Miz over Kofi is that, and Mace will agree, and Tim, you've been around the business, you will agree, it is much harder to get the proper type of heel heat than it is to get babyface love.
Oh yeah, no, you definitely want the crowd to give you the type of heel heat where they love to hate you, not they're sick of looking at you.
Exactly, and it's much harder to do that than it is to get over as a babyface.
I have to agree. It's not hard to get over as a babyface at all.
I'm a fan of The Miz for the main reason that he does his heel role very well. That's the reason why I like him, is because he does his role to perfection.
Well, the best thing that The Miz did this year was when Raw was in Calgary, and he came out as the Calgary Kid with the mask on, with the Calgary Flames jersey. getting the crowd all pumped and beating Eugene for the contract. That's the best thing he did all year.
Yep, and he did that.
I thought the best thing he did all year was drop that hoorah crap.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that too.
Yeah, no, that was
easy. Dropped hoorah and got I am awesome. So,
and yeah, and people are going with the I'm awesome, which worth his fair. The biggest stars were the ones.
T-shirt.
The biggest stars that the industry ever had were chosen by the fans. They weren't someone like Cena who was rammed down your throat until you accepted him. It was someone they started getting behind, despite what the WWE or whatever company they were working for wanted you to do.
Well, here's the thing that you brought up. It wasn't the biggest stars are the ones that are made by the fans. Well, right now I'm saying that it's the fan that has made certain members of the wrestling fanship community turn on Cena. When he first came out, he had some great feuds with Kurt Angle and Big Show, and the fans were all behind him. We thought, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. Then we got sick of him because they figured it out. So that's the case of how something like that can backfire on you.
Well, yeah, they tried to manufacture it. We know for years that WWE put all of their eggs into the Brock Lesnar basket, and when he left, they were desperate, absolutely desperate to find anything, anyone the crowd latched onto to be the next Stone Cold, to be the next Rock, to have the same kind of marketing power that those two characters had. And when people started going for Cena, they went, ooh, this is it. And they started jumping on it, and they started abusing it, and they didn't let it naturally mature the way that it should have.
Well, at the same time, John Cena wasn't all that far removed from that point, right before Brock Lesnar left. They had a few memorable feuds, and it was because of Brock Lesnar's F5 that we wound up with the FU, which is now the Attitude Adjustment. So we've got one for Sheamus, one for The Miz, and with Will saying Kofi Kingston, Breakout Star of the Year, 3 for Kofi.
It works for me.
Breakout
Star. Only if they get this music.
What was that, Mace? You broke up.
Now, only if they could get Kofi to change his music. He finally got new gear. He just needs new music.
Something a little less reggae?
Jamaican-y.
Yeah, a little less raga. So there. Breakout Star of the Year for 2009, Kofi Kingston. Guys, match of the year.
All right, we got told in our little production.
Hold on. Anything before you say anything, Spug, because it's your fault that we're doing what we're gonna do.
Hey, how is it my fault? This is not my fault. Look, this is not my fault because we brought this topic up last week in our post show production conference when we talk after the show, and we were talking about matches of the year, and Rock was the first one to say we're not doing match of the year because we all know the automatic winner was Undertaker Shawn Michaels.
Did you do that, Rock? Yes.
Exactly. So you can't blame this one on me. Not my fault.
I'm still blaming you because Rock's not on the show. So you're basically standing in as the surrogate. Okay, there it is. There it is, everybody. It's general consensus match of the year, HBK versus Undertaker. You disagree with that, tell us in the chat room. However, we've got runner-up.
Or you can call in.
Yeah, sure. You can call in. 888-357-9876, option 1, or Skype to Skype. Just look for Sir Rock.
Say that a little slower. Just a little bit slower.
888-357-9876, option number 1 to call in to WTR Sunday night, or you can Skype to Skype, just look for Sir Rockin'.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so pretty much, I don't think anybody's going to disagree with us on this one, match of the year. Taker Michaels. We've got the runner-up match of the year. Second best of the year. And we've got, let's see, there's four different ones we've got to choose from. Rey Mysterio versus Chris Jericho at the Bash. Night of Champions saw Jeff Hardy taking on CM Punk. Randy Orton versus John Cena at Bragging Rights. Or Turning Point, TNA's pay-per-view offering. AJ Styles versus Daniels versus Samoa Joe. Starting with Mace.
I'm actually going to throw those in the bin and go with Desmond Wolfe, Kurt Angle, match one at Turning Point.
Okay. Ooh, Spug is just champing at the bit, I think.
Look. That's the Turning Point match, Spug, not the one at Final Resolution that had the three.
I didn't see the Turning Point match.
Oh.
And so I can't comment on it. But
it is a sin. Go download that match.
I probably will. Jeff Hardy versus CM Punk.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because if you look at that, CM Punk, for those of you that don't know what Ring of Honor is, or what Ring of Honor is about, in Ring of Honor, there's a code. There's a code of honor that you wrestle by. Gimmick matches excluded. CM Punk never really wrestled those types of matches in Ring of Honor. And to be able to do that in WWE and to do it to the success that he did it with Jeff Hardy, who is one of the innovators in the ladder match. Not inventors, innovators in the ladder match. To me, speaks volumes about the two people who took place in that match and made it what it was.
Okay. Omega.
This is tricky. You know what? I'm going to go with... I'm going to follow Mace's example here.
Okay.
Because that match at Turning Point between Wolf and Angle was pure wrestling, pure classic. That was instantly one of the best matches I had ever seen, and easily one of the best of the year.
Okay.
So it didn't need a gimmick. It didn't need a 6-month feud. It didn't need anything. Just the two wrestlers themselves, and one of the best, most intense matches I've seen in a long time.
Okay, so that's two write-in votes. We've got a bit of a problem. In my opinion, it was AJ Styles versus Daniels versus Samoa Joe at Turning Point.
That was another good one.
Here's the problem. Will and I agree with each other. So Desmond Wolfe ties with AJ Styles, Daniels, Joe, with CM Punk, Jeff Hardy being voted on by Spug.
Now you would think that would mean Turning Point was one of the best pay per views of all time with two match of the year candidates in there, but you'd be surprised.
Yeah, well, no, it had two matches worth watching. Those happened to be the two matches worth watching.
Yeah, they might have been surprised for admission, but you had to do a lot of work to get to them.
Yeah, what was scary, Mace?
What was even scarier was TNA put on technically four matches over two pay-per-views that we actually praised for the first time in nearly a year and whatever.
Oh, a lot longer than that, son.
You got to remember, I haven't been here as long as people think I have.
There you go, yeah. So we've got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Randy from El Paso. What's up?
Oh, man, you're late. What happened? Did you get stuck in traffic?
Nah, I've been listening to the show, but just letting y'all talk about the stuff.
It's all good, man. No, I figured that you'd be around sooner or later. You going to help break this tie?
Yeah, I'm at the third write-in vote. I'm saying Daniels and... not Daniels, Desmond Wolfe and Kurt Angle from Turning Point.
Oh, okay.
Good man.
And why is that your runner-up match of the year?
I saw that match. It was just a pretty good match. You put Desmond Wolfe, who's done Nigel McGuinness, whoever, he's done great in ROH, and then and then you got Kurt Angle, what we all know is conventional, Olympic gold medalist, multi-time world champion, and then you, and that was pretty much, other than maybe live shows, their first match ever, and they put on a great show, and then it didn't, and there wasn't a lot of high spots and all that. It was just pure wrestling at its finest end. It did wonders.
It was good old-time classic wrestling. It was a very, very, it was a very, very good match. I couldn't vote for it because I didn't see it. And that's why I went AJ Styles, Daniels, and Joe. So, it looks like the one that wasn't even on the ballot winds up winning this one, guys.
My God. Let's see. Brett's back in WWE. Sheamus is the WWE champ. We tied on match of the year runner-up with TNA matches.
And wow.
Somewhere right now, Hitler is very cold.
That's going to take a few people too long to figure out Omega.
Got
to
do a little thinking.
Yeah, that's too much thinking on a Sunday after Christmas, man. That's right. It's the day after hell freezes over on WTR Sunday night. Everybody, runner-up match of the year goes to the which pay-per-view was that one?
Turning Point.
Turning Point pay-per-view. Desmond Wolfe versus Kurt Angle. You're listening to WTR Sunday night. We're not done yet. We got Feud of the Year, Superstar of the Year, and we're going to talk about the top moments of the year with a couple of predictions about, you know.
I have another category for you.
Uh-oh. Well, it's too late.
No, what's no. It's a simple. It really is an easy one.
What?
And that was a pay-per-view of the year.
Pay-per-view of the year. Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about that during the commercial break. Everybody, make sure that you don't go no place. Come on back. Stick where you're at. Grab yourself a nice, cold, refreshing one. We got some more shit to go through. We'll be back on the other side of this quick little timeout.
Pickles for me?
Sure, but I'm going to need a hand job first.
Okay.
Introducing Hand Job, the revolutionary multi-grip system that everyone's talking about. Having trouble getting your motor started?
Ah!
All strain and no gain in the garage?
Oh! Ah!
Are your golden years affecting your ability to pop under pressure?
Ah!
Sounds like you need a hand job. Be the envy of the neighborhood with a hand job in the front yard. Get the party started with a hand job. Your guests will thank you. It's easy. Just twist and tug.
What a sweet relief.
Hey, hand job!
And cross those hard-to-satisfy loved ones off your list with a heartwarming holiday hand job.
Thanks, Uncle Greg!
Here's how to order. Experience all the benefits of a genuine hand job for just $4.95.
But wait!
Order within the next 10 minutes and you'll receive a second hand job absolutely free. Two hand jobs for under $5. That's a great deal in any economy. Go to ineedahandjob.com. That's ineedahandjob.com. Don't believe we're serious? Go to ineedahandjob.com and see for yourself. Hand job. You deserve it.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VOLiners.com.
VOLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free, and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcast. Join today.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Oh, God damn it, somebody go!
Welcome back to Wild Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Jesus Christ!
The Canadian's job.
I'm stuffing my mouth with a chicken wing here, Jesus!
You guys are absolute fucking geniuses. Thanks for reading the chat that we have behind the scenes when I told you what to do and you didn't fucking do it.
I was eating. Eating. I haven't had dinner. Eating.
We're wrestling fans. We don't read.
My God, apparently not. Holy cow.
Plus, it's something you said, Tim. Do you really think we pay attention?
He's got a valid point.
Are you mental?
The Aussie,
mental.
The Aussie does have a valid point.
This is true. I've got one thing to tell you guys, and I'm going to let Cindy tell you.
Fuck you and go to hell.
So there. Well, now, you know, my personal. She's now my personal swear.
Really?
I think so. Yeah, what? Welcome back, WTR. Or
Did she buy you some hand jobs for Christmas?
Weird-ass video commercials. I guess we're starting to add that on a regular basis to all the programming here. Just, you know, for fun, because it was funny. Meanwhile, I can just see Tony in Minnesota here. He's got a separate browser window open. www.ineedahandjob.com. So, looks like it's now time for us to take a look at our top favorite moments of the year. Now, what we're going to do here is we're just going to go around the group and let you guys pick your personal favorites, your top moments of the year, WWE, TNA, ROH, whatever it was. What stuck in your mind is something that you like the best.
Favorite moment of the year? For me, my moment of the year was watching the response to Undertaker, Shawn Michaels at Mania, and the things that came out of that match.
Uh-huh.
So that was my moment. Next!
Nice, your turn.
My moment would be the absolute stunned silence just after Cena hit the table, after being quote-unquote pushed by the Marshmallow Man. It was if anybody was a psychic or anything, or has what's the one where you're supposed to read people's minds, that would be a gigantic what the fuck going out around the world.
Or maybe a holy shit.
No, it'd be what the fuck.
Holy shit! Holy shit!
Holy shit! Holy shit! Lost to this year.
Oh, okay. So, what the fuck moment is your favorite moment? That wasn't the question.
Next, Omega.
I'm trying to think here. I'm drawing an absolute blank.
Really?
Yeah, really.
No favorite wrestling moments? Nothing springs to mind?
Hang on a second. It's hard.
Please, reading Wikipedia.
No, online in World of Wrestling.
Oh, he was right.
Oh, okay, Wikipedia.
I don't suppose I could pick our interview with RVD, can I?
Why not?
It is wrestling related.
Yeah.
I could count, personally for me, he was at the Royal Rumble by absolute surprise. That was awesome for me.
Yeah, okay. It's like the Saturday Night Live song goes, Omega jizzed in his pants.
Jizzed in his pants. Yeah, and you, sick bastard, called to hear it.
Ew.
Oh, yeah, we were watching the Royal Rumble, and I called Omega, and I'm like, so who do you think the surprise entrance is going to be? He's like, I have no clue. And all of a sudden, RVD's music hit.
You told me that was the big rumor, that it was RVD.
That it was RVD, and you're like, no fucking way.
No, total bullshit, absolutely not.
Yeah, so you're like, no fucking way. So he comes out, I'm on the phone with Omega. Dude, this kid squealed like somebody just gave him the keys to the Hasbro Transformer vault.
Man, you two, I don't know.
Not funny, haha, funny, queer. Mm-hmm.
Oi.
I will say this. Omega is probably one of my best friends who is not in our circle of our circle of friends here in Ohio. So it was rather funny just to hear him freak out.
That probably would have been funny. Okay, yeah, sure, you can pick RVD. For me, it's a bit of a toss-up, to tell you the truth. The entire match at WrestleMania between Taker and Shawn Michaels, and I happen to really enjoy Shaq pushing around the Big Show. When Shaq guest hosted Raw. It's one of my favorite moments. Shaq coming out actually towering over Big Show.
You know what? I'm gonna change that. And it has to do with Big Show and Shaq.
Okay.
But not so much Shaq hosting Raw. But the fact that Big Show had to look up at somebody.
Yep.
Not Shaq,
who is being coded as the world's largest athlete, having to look up at somebody.
Yeah, not so much, you know, not so much the fact that Shaq pushed Big Show around, but the absolute fact that Show had to look up. That to me is one of those. Are you serious? There's somebody bigger than Show.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite moments of 2010.
Excellent. I'm gonna do like Spug did and change mine. I'd actually say the whole episode of Raw with Bob.
Bob Barker.
Good
old Bob Barker.
Because it shows that when the writing team actually wants to have fun and runs with an idea, they can do it really well and make it memorable.
Yeah, that was a good one. So, So, top moments of the year. Those are ours, everybody. Feel free to put yours in the chat room or even call in and tell us. What the hell? 888-357-9876. Auction number one. You tell us what your favorite moment of 2009 was. That being said, why don't we take a look at the feud of the year? We have a few different candidates here, starting with the Main Event Mafia versus the TNA Frontline, Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, Chris Jericho versus the WWE Legends, Jeff Hardy versus CM Punk, or Triple H versus Randy Orton.
You know what, Tim, you go first.
Me?
Yeah.
Why?
Because.
Because for most of these, you've made me go first, so fuck you. You can go first once.
I was about to say Omega go first this time, but jeez. I have to say, it's Triple H versus Randy Orton. They did a really good job with that feud. They had some wrestling matches that were subpar, but we're looking at the feud of the year, not the best feud match of the year. That's my pick.
You know what? I have to... Give me a minute. I have to let the puppy out, so.
All right, let the damn puppy out. Fucking dog. But while we're at it, and while we're waiting for him, Omega, you go next.
You know, I'm going to have to agree. That's one of the... Because I like views that build on history between characters. And history is just something that WWE just... blatantly doesn't acknowledge anymore.
Yep.
So the few times that we do have a feud where they can take advantage of that, you know, they have a history without it being like shoved down your throat. Like, we don't even have Cena and Orton as a feud of the year. And we know there's history there. There's just, we got so damn bored of it, we don't even want to discuss it anymore.
Yep.
So I do like that we did have a feud with Orton, because they did do a good job, and they did live up to my expectations with that feud.
Okay. So, I'm happy to hear that you enjoyed that. Mace, it's your turn.
I'm so sort of, I'd like to say the Cena-Orton feud, but I'm sort of not going to, just for the simple fact that by the end of it, it was just getting rammed down our throats at every given pay-per-view. Are
you talking about Orton Cena?
Yeah. Like, it's great when they can build off history, when they can sort of evolve a feud over time. But by the end of it, I was so sick of seeing Cena versus Orton that it destroyed the enjoyment of it. So I'm going to throw mine out there for Michaels versus Undertaker.
I'm going to agree with Tim and go Orton Triple H, because that harkens back to feuds of old where, and it's not because it involves Triple H, but when you think about it, when was the last time you saw that type of genuine hatred in a feud? You have to go back to other Triple H feuds like Triple H Rock, Triple H Michaels, Triple H Flair, where you just saw that type of wanton aggression and recklessness when Triple H went after Orton and vice versa.
Or what about Austin Pillman?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So, for me, the feud of the year is Triple H and Orton.
Okay.
But we have a caller. Caller, yeah. Who the hell are you and why the hell are you calling?
All right, hang on for just a quick sec, Randy. We'll get to you in just a quick sec. Spug, before we get to the caller, we have to let everybody know what Will thought. It was his opinion of Cena Orton. Will hates to admit it, but if it had been anyone but Cena, he'd have been all over it.
Wait, why is Will not calling in on the show?
Oh, because he's out pretending to have a wife.
Right.
Yeah. So, Randy, thanks for calling in. What's up this time around, bro?
All right, I got to put my two cents in again. I got to say Triple H Orton, because I agree with a lot what Spug said, that it's just they went to so many lengths to destroy each other, destroy anything around them, like with Orton punting every Shane, Vince, and Steph. Well, he didn't punch Stephanie, but DDTing and Kissinger, then Triple H breaking into Orton's house and destroying that. And it's just they went to so many lengths to try to destroy. And that's what happens with Triple H with a lot of his feuds. He just gets them to that point where they want to murder each other.
Oh, yeah, that's a good choice. So, feud of the year, Triple H versus Randy Orton. Everybody, don't be shy. Be like Randy. Feel free to call in. By now, you should know the phone number in case you don't. Spug, what is it?
1-888-357-9876.
Option number?
1.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
See? So, and I didn't even have to look at anything. I'm not even in the chat room, and I know the damn phone number.
That's because you've heard it said often enough that it should be.
I've said it often enough. But, you know, there's an interesting... There's just an interesting offshoot that we could take to feud of the year. And that's worst feud of the year. Now, I didn't prepare a list, simply because there were quite a few bad feuds. But opinions, I mean, that's what this show is about, is opinions. So we'll just go around the table. We'll start with Omega. Your opinion of worst feud of the year.
Oh, my God. You need to give me time to think of shit like this, because I don't remember the last year very well, mostly because I was forcing it out of my memory.
I got one right off the bat.
I'd say anything that involved Vicky Guerrero.
No, that's a close second. Vicky and what's his name? Razor Ramon Jr. Eric Escobar. But number one, Chavo and Hornswoggle.
Yeah, or Chavo.
Oh, all right.
Can I give that credit where just for a second it looked like they were actually going to do something with that when Chavo started coming to Hornswoggle's aid, and then, you know, one week later, we forgot about it. Let's embarrass them more.
Oh, okay.
And then they have Chris Masters do it, who's the one that Chavo saved from Hornswoggle in the first place, turned face.
Yeah, but jiggling his chest.
The tit jiggle? Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to Mace. We'll let you think about it a minute, Omega.
No, I'm sticking with anything with Vicky Guerrero in it.
Okay. All right, Mace.
Worst feud of the year. I'm sort of going to do a blanket comment like Omega and say anything with suicide in it.
All right, Timmy?
Career suicide.
Yeah, pretty much what Omega said.
All right, mine, and I'm probably going to get chastised for this, and I really don't care. Mine was a feud of the year candidate, and that is Chris Jericho versus the Legends. Because WWE could have turned that into the bar none feud of the year. And it had its moments. But overall, the feud was lackluster because of the simple fact that every time one of the Legends came out and Chris Jericho started mouthing off to him, they jobbed the Legends out to Jericho. Even in the end, at the payoff match at WrestleMania, few remember that Jericho actually won that match, even though Mickey Rourke beat his ass at the end.
They didn't really give him much struggle in that match either. Steamboat a little bit, but nothing.
Yeah,
it was like a squash.
It was pretty much a squash. For guys who helped build the industry to what it was, to squash them like that, turned that feud from what it could have been one of the bar none greatest moments of the year in wrestling, it turned it into something that, you know, was just utter garbage.
Yeah, I can remember. I can remember that feud where, you know, we found out Ricky Steamboat could still go. And he had a phenomenal match with Jericho on Raw, and they went absolutely nowhere with how much crowd support he was getting for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they wanted Mickey Rourke to punch Jericho out.
Wow, I'm not getting as chastised as I thought I was going to for that statement. So
No, you're absolutely right. It had a lot of potential, and they squandered it.
I think Spud's been sharing around the Percocets. We're all in a good mood.
All right, well, let's move on to the actual, you know, other categories we have. And thank you, Randy, for calling in again. I appreciate it. You know, join us anytime.
All right.
All right, everybody. So, here it is, the big one. Superstar of the Year. Our choices narrowed down to the following. Jeff Hardy, CM Punk, Chris Jericho, AJ Styles, or Kurt Angle. Those are the choices.
Is a trick.
Yeah, I'm thinking, buddy.
Are you thinking on this one?
Yeah, I'm thinking a little bit. So's Omega. Mace?
If I say the one I'm thinking, I'm going to want to hit my head on the desk for mentioning it.
Why?
Because I don't want to say it.
You're embarrassed?
No.
I think it hurts.
It hurts. It definitely hurts to say it. Superstar of the Year.
Come on. You can't see me.
Yeah, John fucking Cena.
Ew!
To pick somebody on the list, I'm going to go with Jericho, but you got to realize it's going to be John fucking Cena, as much as we hate to admit it.
Yeah, I'm not going to go with John fucking Cena. I'm picking Jericho.
Well, screw that. I'm not going to go John Cena either. It's Chris Jericho.
Nah, I changed my mind. I'm going to go John Cena.
Because I picked the Canadian?
No, I'm going with Chris Jericho. I just wanted to see if you'd follow. If you'd backtrack. But, you know, you can pick John Cena. It's okay, even though he's not on the list.
I'm not going to.
And, Randy in the chat room, it's not a cold day in hell. This is not Will who picks Cena.
Yeah, Will picked somebody else, which was quite surprising.
Yeah, Will went for Randy Orton. We don't know why, because he's not around to tell us why, and he just made the pick. He didn't elaborate on that one. So we got two picks for Chris Jericho. Omega, have you finished thinking?
Yeah, I'm going to make it three picks for Chris Jericho.
Ooh, check it out!
Mm-hmm. Best villain in the WWE and most consistent worker in the ring.
Hey, let's face it. He's the best at what he does.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Spug. You know what? I'm going to add somebody who's not on the list. At least I didn't hear his name on the list.
Okay, who would that bring?
Jeff Hardy? Jeff Hardy's
on the
list. I'm going to go with Jeff Hardy. Okay, so we got one for Jeff Hardy, one for Orton. And three of us say Chris freaking Jericho is the 2009 Superstar of the Year. Once again, everybody, these are pretty much our opinions, and you're welcome to them.
Yeah, he wasn't even up for the Slammy for Superstar of the Year.
Which is retarded, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We got a couple more things to do before we call it a night tonight, everybody. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. Most of you don't have to do anything tomorrow anyway. We're still in the holiday season for those of us who celebrate them or have already celebrated them. Oh, how was your Boxing Day, Tim?
It was just like any other day for me.
You didn't go out shopping or anything?
I avoid the stores religiously on December 26th. Are you kidding me?
Sound like most Americans the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, fuck, man. I used to work retail. No fucking chance. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We've got a little bit more to go. We'll be back
right after this.
Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by Tripology. Book your next trip with Tripology. If you're finding it's time to get away, you have an important upcoming business trip, or if it's last minute and you need to get there fast without any hassles, call Tripology today.
I'm sure.
If you're working too many hours and can't find the time to plan that badly needed vacation, then stress no longer. Tripology is here to help. Tripology will help you get to where you need to go, whether it's for an important business trip, a last-minute flight out to see a loved one, or that much-needed and overdue vacation. Now is the time to make Tripology your travel agent. Call Tripology toll-free at 1-866-289-9950 or log on to www.mytripology.com and plan your trip now.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always just end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're
Shut
not
up.
The host of the show. Will is the producer.
Producer
of the show. We're the Trump Ralph Park.
Why did they do it?
We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay,
come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? 4. William is McConnell. And 4. Unfortunately, the lone jobber. And for the lone producer who doesn't do really much. I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Well. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. All right, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it. Forget. Wow. Gosh, damn it, jobber.
What I do?
I'm Rob. Your godfather tree for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Any TNA knockout. I'm out here because I have something very important that I need to say.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, it's a two to say about it. They say it's two,
but I have got it. Behold the king. The king of kings. Onion.
Japanese son.
And welcome back to Wrest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Winding down the show this evening, we've been looking at the top of 2009. We took a look at the story of the year. It turns out it's Bret Hart signing a short-term contract with the WWE, the surprise of the year. Guys, what was this one again?
Sheamus
winning the WWE title. Breakout star of the year, that went to Kofi Kingston. Runner-up match of the year, that went to one that wasn't even on our list.
Daniels versus Joe versus Styles.
No.
No. Angle and Wolf.
Oh, Angle and McGuinness. No! Are you sure?
You didn't see the match.
I saw
both matches. I know which one was better.
And that's the one. It was Desmond Wolfe versus Angle at Turning Point. That was runner-up match of the year. Feud of the year turned out to be Triple H versus Randy Orton. Superstar of the year, we all decided it was Chris Jericho. Well, we didn't. It wasn't a unanimous consent, but that's what came up. And now, guys, who do you see as the star for 2010? Who do you think it's going to be?
I think you mentioned it before, but I'd point toward The Miz. He's right on the edge of doing something huge right now. He's got all the support he needs from the crowd, and it's just a matter of if he can hold up to that kind of pressure and expectation or not.
Interesting choice. Go ahead, Spug.
I was stretching. I'm sorry.
Well, who's going to be...
What was the question again? I apologize.
Who is going to be the star for 2010?
The star for 2010?
Yeah.
Honestly, I would like to say The Miz because I think he's on the cusp of greatness. I really do. But I am going to go with Desmond Wolfe out of TNA.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because quite honestly, if things go as we want them to go with this TNA WWE thing, it won't be long before Desmond Wolfe has jumped ship and gone to WWE and is on the stage where he needs to be.
Well, you do realize that he left WWE, right? He was with.
I know. He left WWE to go to TNA. But honestly, how long do you think he's going to survive in TNA if they continue to job him out like they did the other night to Angle and the way they jobbed him out?
Well, yeah, it's always a good question. Excuse me. So you're basically thinking it's Desmond Wolfe?
Either way, if he stays in TNA or not, I think he's going to be the star of the year. Because you're starting to see a lot of those guys from that ROH class finally come on like we all thought they would.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mace, what about you?
See, I'd like to agree with Spug and say it's kind of Desmond Wolfe, but I'm sort of taking into account the Hogan factor, which will end up destroying anything that happens. But for TNA, I will still say Desmond Wolfe, but overall I'm actually going to go with John Morrison.
John? Oh, really? Morrison?
Morrison.
Interesting. I got to put my money on this. I said it earlier in the program. He reminds me of young Jericho. And if they keep going the way that they were going this past year with Miz, I could see him being the superstar Jericho is in, you know, 10 years from now. I think he's going to have a really, really big 2010. So. But Will, his vote was Desmond Wolfe, or he doesn't know, because it seems like anytime anybody in WWE gets a push, they suddenly disappear.
All right. All right. One last topic before we finish up the show tonight.
Well, we got another topic to go here, but what's yours?
Pay-per-view of the year.
Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that after our final 2010 predictions here.
Okay.
Seeing as you chimed in and chirped up, Spug,
sure.
What's your personal prediction for the wrestling business in 2010?
I think that the wrestling business is on the cusp of being a forefront again. Because as much as we want to argue semantics and politics with, you know, is Hogan signed to TNA or the Energy Group, you know, he signed to Panda Energy, all that crap, it doesn't matter. When you have Bret Hart going to be with WWE for the first 4 months of the year and possibly in a match at WrestleMania against Vince, when you have Bischoff and Hogan working with TNA and whatever Bischoff's role is with TNA, whether it be a production guy with Spike, he's going to make the program better. We all know this. That is going to make Vince be more creative. That is going to make Vince work harder. That is also going to make Vince more cutthroat. And we saw what happened with the Attitude Era in the 90s. And I'm not saying we're in for another Attitude Era, but this could be something better than that.
A resurgence, if you will.
Exactly.
I like your prediction. Omega, what's yours?
See. I'm thinking I'm somewhere in the similar veins of Spug here, because I am starting to see that WWE is starting to pick up momentum again. I'm starting to see kids wearing the wrestling shirts again. I'm starting to see the things I saw in the Attitude Era when wrestling was pop culture and it was the cool thing. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure if it's going to be better than the Attitude Era, but it's definitely a resurgence that we're coming up to. And I think that with direction seemingly changing in TNA, I mean, focusing once again on AJ, Daniels, Joe, and now Desmond Wolfe, as well as any changes that Hulk Hogan might bring in, because, well, it can't get much worse, though I'm probably going to regret those words down the line.
You might.
I might. But TNA is going to, one way or another, TNA is going to change. It's not going to be the same thing that we've railed on the last few years. Now, it might be better, it might be worse, but whatever it is, it might make more of an impact than it has ever before. And right when wrestling is now becoming the popular thing once again, it's just the time to do it.
Good prediction. Mace.
Pretty much the same thing that's already been said. You know, wrestling's due for a resurgence. It's getting more popular with the younger crowd. It's becoming once again acceptable to wear wrestling t-shirts out in public. January 4th is pretty much just going to be the opening punch in what will possibly be a return of maybe not the Monday Night Wars, but at least the Wrestling Wars between two companies that's going to force Vince and the heads over at TNA to sort of get off their asses and realize that now that they have an audience and a reason to pull them in, they really need to step up their game and they're going to fire back. You know, we've already got guys like Desmond Wolfe, The Miz, and all that are on the verge of becoming something a lot bigger than they have been, and this is going to push them a lot further. Also, I'm going to put the easy prediction out there of we're going to see a lot more wrestler deaths this year, unfortunately. Oh. But I will say this, it's probably not going to be so much from what we've seen in this 12 months with drug use and everything. We're going to see a lot of the older guys passing on the end of the era of the, I'd say probably the 70s, early 80s guys finally passing on.
Well, I think as far as that goes, that's something that happens every year. We see the older staples slowly but surely leaving us, and it's all natural causes in old age. You can pretty safe making a prediction like that, I think. Yeah.
I can get specific if you like and say Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, I think we're going to lose Bobby Heenan this year. You know, I've got another prediction.
Okay.
And this goes along the same vein of resurgence. And that is, I think we're going to see the resurgence of the manager in wrestling.
Okay, that will be interesting if that happens.
For a second there, I was going to say, if we're going to see more deaths in wrestling, I think that just means that Will finally met John Cena in public.
With a gun.
Oh, I don't think just a gun would be necessary. He'd probably just grab a rock and beat him until he finally went down for 3 seconds.
No, but Will wouldn't hurt John Cena. Will thinks of John Cena's, don't tell anybody I told you this, but Will doesn't think John Cena's horrible. He just hates the character that John Cena has been forced into. If they met in a dark alley and Will had a gun, he'd murder the character.
So he'd shoot him in his waving hand.
Yeah. He'd say, see if you can see this bitch.
You can't see me. Yes, I can, through the hole in your hand.
Look at that, motherfucker. So there you go, yeah. But, okay, you know, great predictions. I've got to pretty much echo everybody's cautiously optimistic prediction for a resurgence in the product for 2010. I think that despite us basically shitting all over Hulk Hogan the way we have ever since it was announced, we saw what the benefit immediately, the positive impact that made with the announcement that Bret Hart signed a 4-month deal with WWE and will be on WWE TV the same night Hogan debuts on TNA. They're both going to be 3-hour shows and they're going to overlap. I'll tell you right now, Hogan predicted a 3.0 rating. If TNA gets 3.0, you'll see WWE get a 6 or better. I think that what we're going to have here is a lot of wrestling fans who have let, you know, former fans who have left the product ever since WCW went down are going to tune in on January the 4th to see what's going on. And there's going to be a lot of channel changing. This is the opportunity for both companies to recapture a great big huge group of people that they lost. Don't forget, back in the day, wrestling was pulling 7s and 8s and on the odd occasions 9s in the Nielsen ratings when the Monday Night Wars were on. You had something to choose from. You had two different programs going head-to-head competing with each other, and you had both programs outperforming the number one show on ABC, CBS, or NBC. Mm. And if they play it right, they can capitalize on that momentum. We will see TNA do more live shows. This is one thing that I said from the outset, they need to do live programming, not pre-taped Impact. Now, TNA is talking about adding a second show. So why don't they make their second show recorded, their flagship show, a live show, and why not put the bejesus into SmackDown and have that aired Friday night at 10 o'clock Eastern? Or even 9 o'clock.
I'm going to go slightly against one of your predictions with the ratings. I'd say sixes would be the absolute most it's going to push it if this whole resurgence goes through. I don't think we're going to see the point of, you know, anything from seven to nines on the ratings ever again.
Oh, I don't think so either. I was just making a point.
Yeah.
So, but I can see TNA doing a 2 to 2.5 on January the 4th. And that being said, I would not be surprised, startled, or shocked to see WWE pull a 5 to 5.5 in the Nielsen's. And you know that all of these hardcore wrestling fans are going to be glued to all of the dirt sheets Tuesday morning as soon as they get out of bed to see who, you know, which dirt sheet is the first one to post the Nielsen ratings.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind, January 4th is the first Monday in a while with no Monday Night Football. You're going to have a lot of people clicking channels trying to find something else interesting.
That's true.
Monday Night Football has nothing to do with it, because people flip back and forth between Monday Night Football and Raw all the time. So.
But it absolutely has something to do with it. That's the top demographic, and they suck a huge amount of ratings away.
I don't think it's going to be enough to...
But at the same time, just to interrupt your train of thought there, Spug, at the same time, the Nielsen ratings are broken down on the quarter hour, okay? They report ratings every 15 minutes. So if you're channel changing and you're a member of the Nielsen family, whenever it winds up taking that snapshot of what you're watching on television, if you're flipping to Raw, then it will capture you in that quarter hour. And then in the next quarter hour, if you flip back to football, it's going to capture that.
It's going to be interesting.
So I think that our predictions are pretty much unanimous, more or less, along the same line, the same vein anyway. We're all hoping for a resurgence in professional wrestling, not just WWE or TNA. We all think that TNA going live is a great idea. We want to see a return of the network wars as far as professional wrestling goes. Is that a fair assessment?
I think so, because the writing was never better, because there is nothing better for the writing in WWE than competition, when they actually have to try to outdo somebody.
Well, you know for a fact that Vince finally got off his ass when he heard that Hogan was going to go on Impact Live on a Monday up against TNA, or up against WWE.
Shit gets done when they have something to compete with, when they know our ratings are in danger. We need to pull out all the stops here. Now, the Monday Night Wars and the Attitude Era was great because they had to do that on a nightly basis. So once again, we see, Hulk Hogan's going to be live up against us in the old WCW time slot. We need to pull the trigger on Bret Hart at long last.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing about that. I have no idea how long Hulk Hogan to TNA was in the works for. But Bret Hart to WWE has been in the works for a few months. I think they pulled the trigger early. I don't think he was originally going to have a four-month run in WWE. I think it was just going to be like a month and a half leading up to WrestleMania, where he's either a guest referee or gets into that street fight.
Oh, I'd do one better than this. I'd go as far as say that this has been years in the making. I mean, between the Hall of Fame induction, which even Bret admits not a big deal, but more than that, the relationship that was rebuilt when Bret came in to do his DVD set, turning it from basically a sequel to the Ultimate Warrior's Self-Destruction DVD to the 3-disc set that we got.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vince has been rebuilding that relationship ever since, because he acknowledges what a big star Bret is, what a big deal it is if he were to come back, and basically has been laying the groundwork for a long time to basically have him on speed dial with an offer.
Uh-huh. Well, I think we can all agree that Hulk Hogan is the bigger name, but Bret Hart coming back to WWE is the bigger deal.
Yeah.
Spug!
Yes?
Now what's up for you with your pay-per-view?
Mm-hmm.
Go.
My pay-per-view of the year overall was WrestleMania 25 last year.
Okay. Now, was it because of that one match, or...
Overall. Overall, it was a very good pay-per-view.
Okay.
And the match of Undertaker Michaels did add to it, but it wasn't just the only thing that made that pay-per-view great. It was the fact that it was the 25 years of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
What other pay-per-view's been going on 25 years?
Well, there isn't. Absolutely not one at all. Mace.
I have no idea at this point.
Okay. Omega.
Well, I'd have to agree with a Spug on WrestleMania for several reasons. Number one, it's always the show that they go all out for.
Yeah.
But more than that, Undertaker versus HBK isn't disqualified for this round, so I'm going to pick it.
There you go. Okay, that works. Yeah, you know, I'm going to say WrestleMania 25, mainly because, you know, WWE always goes all out, they pull out all the stops. They did a good job this year. I'm going to go out on a limb here and vote for Will and say the pay-per-view that Cena lost in is his pick for the pay-per-view of the year. And I think it's got two in that category.
I'll go with WrestleMania for WWE's pay-per-view of the year. TNA's pay-per-view will be Final Resolution.
Okay. Really? Final Resolution and not the other one? Whatchamacallit? Oh, fuck. What is it? Turning Point.
Turning
Point had two amazing main events, but the rest of the card was extremely lackluster and was extremely crappy. Whereas Final Resolution gave us two excellent main events, but at the same time, the rest of the card was from average to really well done. It was a pretty balanced pay-per-view, despite the crowd being absolutely fucking woeful.
There you go. And Sir Rockin says backlash because Joey Styles can't even announce that event. Tony in the chat room picks TLC, and I don't understand why.
Because he's high on drugs.
It's fine to have
Cena lost.
There you go. Yeah, it's fine to have a TLC match in a pay-per-view, but again, when you do the entire pay-per-view as a gimmick match,
yeah,
you lose something. Just like, you know, TNA Lockdown. Okay, the entire pay-per-view is inside a steel cage. Fuck that. I'm sorry. No.
Yeah, when you have a match that you have to legitimize the chair match as being a legitimately dangerous match, more dangerous than Inferno and Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
You know, you're not even trying anymore.
Yeah. So there you go, WrestleMania 25, the pay-per-view of the year. There's really no argument with that one. Of course, on the TNA side, it was Final Resolution as voted on by Mace. That's it. That's the back at 2009 and our sneak a peek ahead to 2010. Thanks for listening to that, guys, gals, everybody. It's an abbreviated edition of Rapid Fire.
Let's do it.
Time now for Rapid Talk Radio Rapid Fire. That part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer tough, challenging, sometimes outrageous, and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine. Wow, fine. Wow, fine.
rapid fire, and Will's not here, so let me think here. Rock, unmute your mic, and then you can have Will's questions. How's that sound?
Fine.
What do you think?
Let's go.
Do you think we should?
Let's go.
Okay, fine. Okay, sure, you're agreeing with it. That's I thought you put up a fight and say no, no, no. All right, so we'll start off with you, Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Rock and Sock, the producer extraordinaire here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, to Russell Talk Radio. Good show last night, by the way, CB Radio.
Yes, thank you very much. Now I get to your question.
Yeah, should Scott Armstrong be fired?
Yes, because he can't count correctly on SmackDown. He ruined the pace of the Heart Dynasty versus DX match. So that's why he should be fired.
Which is really a shame because that was a damn good match. The main event for Friday Night SmackDown. Omega, what's your New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution...
PodCon. Go to PodCon.
That's for another show.
Different show.
Different show. Up my video production. Yeah, up my video production on YouTube, and if or something more wrestling related, try to look a little bit more positively about the industry and WWE's performance.
Wow, Tony's just kind of surprised you didn't say that you'd vow to stay away from Lita.
That is no, I don't need a resolution for that.
That's just the way it is.
He needs a restraining order.
Yes, but
the radiation detector pretty much takes care of it.
There you go. As soon as that tag turns yellow, run the fuck the other way. Spud.
Yeah. I hear the beeping and the flowers around me dying. I know to go.
There you go. Just bring the canary into that coal mine. What are three things are key to have when starting a wrestling promotion? A wrestling ring. That's a good thing to have. A venue. That's a good thing to have. And the state of Ohio, a promoter's license. And that, in the state of Ohio, would be a good thing to have. There you go.
I will say, caveat to that, the majority of states in the United States now are, wrestling is being put under the Athletic Commission, so they are requiring promoter's license.
I see. Okay. Mace, what diva or knockout would you like to kiss at midnight on New Year's?
Okay. Jeez. I'm going to go with Velvet Sky.
Velvet Sky? You want to kiss Velvet Sky?
I want to do more than kiss Velvet.
Well, you're going to have to save that for Anything Goes on Thursdays. Talk about it there. There you go. Jimi Hendrix, didn't he do a song about that? You know, excuse me while I kiss Velvet Sky. But anyway. Back to Rock. Will Will's boycott of Raw resume this Monday after the John Cena versus Sheamus WWE title match?
Yes, because we're going to see a new WWE champion in John Cena.
And Will boycotts Raw.
Exactly.
Again, he's going to be torn. Rip torn. Omega. With yesterday being the day where people usually return gifts that they dislike or have no use for, if you could return or exchange one thing in pro wrestling, what would that be?
I need to return Vicky Guerrero and get back the 3 pesos we paid for her.
would you demand interest?
You know, unfortunately, Omega, as noble as that thought is, the legacy that was the Guerrero family name will never be the same because of her. So you can't return that, unfortunately.
He's got a point. He's got a point.
This is true. This is true. Yeah.
Well, it's not like having a canary in a coal mine, Omega.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. I knew that would make you laugh.
That was a good one.
Thanks. I don't think anybody caught it but you, but, you know.
Now the question is, how many workers died in there picking away at her?
Oh. Thank you very much for the visual. Your fault.
Ew! Spud!
Yes.
Get that image out of my mind. What's your secret talent?
My secret talent?
What's your secret talent?
Wow, I actually have to think about this. I would...
What a weird name for a movie.
Now you're... Wow, fuck, I haven't had to think like this in a long time. secret talent. You know what my secret talent is? Honestly, my ability to organize.
Your organizational skills? That's a secret talent? Really?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I literally am OCD. And if you look anywhere around, like, my office or my workshop in my basement, it's totally a mess. Like, you walk down and, like, nobody would be able to find a fucking thing. But if I really get into it, everything is, like, nice, neat, in its place, arranged by alphabetical. Organized, I can.
Wow. Okay, so your secret talent is being able to put something on a shelf. Congratulations, Mace! What's more important in a wrestler, their charisma or their wrestling ability? I suspect there's a two-pronged answer here.
That's what Lita said.
I'd say both are as important as each other, but priority-wise, it's skill over charisma.
Okay. Let me put it to you this way. You're an indie worker, and you're performing in front of people, but not on television.
Then I'd say wrestling skill, because on the indie scene, especially down here, the art of telling a story, the match itself, is not dead.
Psychology's not dead.
Yeah.
I've been well, just like it is in Canada.
Can I add something to Mace's statement?
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
Since I'm, you know, one of those damn dirty indie wrestlers, too.
Damn dirty indie wrestler.
Because indie wrestling is not on, you know, not on television, you have to have psychology, but you also have to have the wow factor live. You have to be able to put that wow factor out there because you want to get people coming back and you want them to bring more people with them the next time they come.
The most perfect example I personally have of what you just said, Spud, would be Ravenous Randy from the old from Stampede Wrestling.
I wish he wasn't with WWE. I miss my boyfriend.
Yeah, we were going to have him on the show, and then he signed the deal, so that fell through, unfortunately. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, speaking of Ravenous Randy, though, next time you talk to him, tell him I did say hi, and I'm waiting for him to, you know, debut.
Well, he's got a Facebook account, man. You should really start doing Facebook shit.
I should.
Yeah, you should.
Tim that hyping up Facebook. Wow.
That way I could do less of it. And what are you talking about, Rock? I taught you how to play a poker hand the other night.
Okay.
That app.
You're talking up Facebook now. Go close out your show.
Yeah, okay. no more Facebook talk. There we go. All right, everybody. Hey, there it is. The final Wrestle Talk Radio for 2009. Thanks for tuning in. And for those of you that stuck with us, thanks for sticking with us. Yet once again, Randy calling in. Just like clockwork, we pretty much have it timed down to the minute what part of the show you're going to call in, Randy. And we appreciate that you do, and we invite you to keep doing that, like, all the time. You know, bring a bunch of friends. You know, let's get a resurgence in Internet Wrestling Radio Talk. Speaking of which, 2010, I've got a prediction for Wrestle Talk Radio. I predict we will start having more guests on in 2010.
Thank God you said that, and that, you know, my internet might actually hold out for an entire show.
Well, let's cross our fingers for that one, Mace. And my New Year's resolution is to not make any. So, that being said, I hope you all had a great Christmas and holiday season. Those of you that do Ramadan or who had Hanukkah or are doing the Kwanzaa thing coming up, Have yourselves a fantastic New Year's. Guys, gals, please party safe. Party with a friend. And don't let each other drive drunk, because you'll spill each other's beer.
Oh, I want to say real quick, if you do me a favor, and this is probably one of the only times you'll actually hear me be caring, but a buddy of mine is in the hospital with a very serious condition at the moment, and while they have him stable and he's not in critical condition, if he doesn't get better, he could die. He had a sinus infection and was taking a medication, and the medication he was taking gave him an allergic reaction, and he ended up with pancreatitis.
Oh, God.
And is in the hospital, and if everything goes well, they're supposed to be releasing him New Year's Eve day. So here's hoping that he gets better. And I was the there were two best men at his wedding. I was one of them. So, and he and I were the best men at my other friend's wedding. There's, you know, three of us that have grown up together. So, kind of hoping he doesn't die.
Well, yeah, you know, let's all send our thoughts. And for those of you who happen to follow the religious bent, prayers for Spug's friend. Everybody, have a safe week. Have a great time. Enjoy all the fun and festivities that are coming our way in the next 7 days. And we'll catch you here next Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night, taking a look at what we can expect January 4th, the following day.
No OTL or Burning River Radio this week.
That being said, no OTL, Burning River Radio, no Fire on Ice until the new year, and there probably will not be and anything goes this week.
I don't think so.
Yeah, all our hopes and prayers to Cindy Sin in the hospital. Hopefully the drugs work and she doesn't have to have what we were talking about. And that being said, have yourselves a very safe and happy New Year, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Take care.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network, located at wildtalkradio.com.